إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness to La ilaha illallah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the hellfire. Continuing with the aqeedah of Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari rahimahullah, we are still with the paragraph which goes as translated. In brief, our position is we acknowledge belief in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, what has come from Allah, and what has been related by the reliable messengers on the authority of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We do not deny any of that. And Allah Azza wa Jal is one deity. There is no deity to be worshipped in truth except Him. He is a fard, a samad. He has not taken a marriage partner or a son. In the previous weeks, we had explained the first part of this paragraph. In brief, our position is we acknowledge belief in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers. And tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we would explain what has come from Allah and what has been related by the reliable memorizers on the authority of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We do not deny any of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in many verses in His Quran, informs us of that which the Shaykh hafizahullah wa rahimahu is telling us here, that we acknowledge our belief and what has been revealed to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or as he said, as what has come to us from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, as Allah tells us, after I say a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Yunus, verses 108 and 109, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدَ جَاءَكُمُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنَ اهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يُضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِوَكِيلٍ وَاتَّبِعْ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ وَاصْبِرْ حَتَّى يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, I command you to say, O humanity, the truth has come to you from your Lord. So whoever is guided, then he is only guided for his own self. And whoever is astray, then he only goes astray for his own self. And I am not a guardian over any of you. And I command you to follow that which was revealed to you, and to be patient until your Lord judges, and he is khayrul hakimin, or he is the best of the judges, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, and I command you to follow that which was revealed to you. And this is the statement of the Shaykh, that we acknowledge our belief and what has come to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning from the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us here to follow that which was revealed to us from our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us his messenger, and us also, as the Quran was addressed to the messenger and then for the rest of humanity, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 106. Surah Al-Ahzab. I think that's the first two verses of Surah Al-Ahzab. Verses 1 and 2 of Surah Al-Ahzab, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his prophet, Ya ayyuhan nabi, ittaqillaha wa la tuti'il kafirin wal munafiqin innallaha kana aliman hakima wattabi' ma yuha ilayka min rabbika innallaha kana bima ta'maluna khabira wa tawakkal 'ala Allah wa kafa billahi wakila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his prophet, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, O prophet, I command you to fear Allah and do not obey the kafirs and the munafiqs. Indeed, Allah is Alim Hakim, the wise and the all-knowing. And follow that which was revealed to you from your Lord. Indeed, Allah is khabir of what you do, or well aware of what you do, and rely and depend on Allah, and Allah is sufficient as a wakil or as a guardian. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also commanding us to follow, or his prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to follow that which was revealed to him. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala also tells us in Surah Al-An'am, اتَّبِعْ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مَنْ رَبِّكَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. In Surah Al-An'am, verse 106, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and follow that which was revealed to you from your Lord. No God has the right to be worshipped other than Him, and turn away from the mushrikeen, or the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in this verse is saying what he has said in the previous verses, that we have to follow that which was revealed to us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the beginning of Surah Al-A'raf, in the first couple of verses, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alif Lam Mim Sad, Kitabun Unzila Ilayka Fala Yakun Fi Sadrika Harajun Min Litunzira Bihi Wa Dhikra Lil Mu'minin, Ittabi'u Ma Unzila Ilaykum Min Rabbikum Wa La Tattabi'u Min Dunihi Awliya Qalilan Ma Tadhakkarun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this surah, Alif Lam Mim Sad, a book that was revealed to you. So don't have any difficulty in your chest from calling or warning the people by this Quran, and it is a reminder to the believers. I command you to follow that which was revealed to you from your Lord, and do not follow anything other than it. But most of the people won't remember or won't take this as a reminder. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also telling us to follow that which was revealed to us. And I was trying to take a few of the verses that has this phrase, and follow that which was revealed to you from your Lord, but that we can see it in the context of the verses around it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning other things, as He's also mentioning to follow that which was revealed to us. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Az-Zumar, verses 54 to 56, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. واتبعوا أحسن ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم من قبل أن يأتيكم العذاب بغتة وأنتم لا تشعرون أن تقول نفس يا حسرة على ما فرطت في جنب الله وإن كنت لمن الساخرين. الله سبحانه وتعالى tells us in these verses, and I command you to repent to your Lord and to submit to Him before the punishment comes, and then you won't have any helpers. And to follow the best of that which was revealed to you from your Lord before the punishment comes all of a sudden and you don't even realize it. And before a person would say, Ya Hasrata, or Oh, I'm destroyed, or how regretful am I that I was disobedient to my Lord, or I was negligent in obeying my Lord, and I was among the sinners. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses is commanding us to follow that which was revealed by our Lord before there comes a day when we don't have a chance to follow and believe in that which was revealed to us from our Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, and we were mentioning this verse in almost every class that came so far, and we'll take the one from Surah Al-Baqarah, and that's verse number 136, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. To the end of that verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I command you to say, we believe in that which was revealed to us, and that which was revealed to those who came before us, Ibrahim and Ismail, to the end of that verse. So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to say that we believe in that which was revealed to us from the Quran, and that which was revealed before us to the prophets from their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what the Shaykh is acknowledging, that we acknowledge our belief in what has come from Allah, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to humanity in the Quran, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded humanity to follow. We acknowledge our belief in all of it, and we're not like those people who Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentions here in Surah Al-Luqman, as He mentions in other verses, from those people who do not believe or do not acknowledge their belief in that which has come from their Lord. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا أَوَلَوْ كَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى عَذَابِ السَّعِيرِ وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَقَدِ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى وَإِلَى اللَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ كُفْرُهُ إلينا مرجعهم فننبئهم بما عملوا إن الله عليم بذات الصدور. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in these verses, and when it is said to them, follow that which Allah has revealed, they say, rather we follow that which we found our forefathers on. Even if the shaitan is calling you to the punishment of the fire, and whoever submits his face to Allah and he is muhsin and he is righteous, then he has definitely held on to the trustworthy handle, meaning La ilaha illallah, and to Allah is the end of all of the affairs. So do not be saddened by the one who disbelieves. This is verse number 21 and 23 in Surah Al-Luqman. To us is your return, and we will inform you of what they used to do. Indeed, Allah is alim of what is in the chests of men. Allah is all-knowing of what is in the chests of men. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the flip side is showing us those people who say they do not believe in that which was revealed to them from their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they follow the shaitan who's calling them to the adab al-sa'ir, or the punishment of the blazing flame. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses has established for us that we believe in Him, tabarak wa ta'ala, and we believe in that which has come from Him, from His speech, the Qur'an, and we acknowledge our belief in it as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us, and we do not say that we only follow that which was given to us from our forefathers, even if they were calling us to the blazing fire. Then the Shaykh, after he said what has come from Allah, as we acknowledge our belief, and what has come from Allah, and what has been related by the reliable memorizers on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We had already mentioned, and we'll be mentioning inshallah in the future as we cover the ayah and the hadith on obeying Allah and obeying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that we follow that which has come from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we believe in it. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in general from Surah Al-Hashr, I think that's verse number 6 or 7, مَا آتَاكُمَ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ, that whatever the Messenger gives you, take it, and whatever he prohibits you, leave it. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in many authentic hadith has commanded us also to follow that which he has brought to humanity from that which has been authentically narrated on him. And we have mentioned many of those, but today we want to go to the other point of following that which was brought to us by the reliable memorizers on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we have already established that we follow that which has come from to us from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here the Shaykh is acknowledging our belief and following that which was brought to us by the reliable memorizers on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here he's hinting at his refutation of the deviant people who do not follow the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As every Muslim says, he follows the Quran and the Sunnah. But if you bring him a hadith from the reliable memorizers on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, how do you know that's from the Prophet? That hadith is collected by Imam al-Bukhari. Bukhari didn't meet the Prophet. No, I'm not going to work by that hadith. What's in the Quran is sufficient for me. So here the Shaykh is hinting at, and he's not just saying that we acknowledge our belief and that which has come from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but has come to us by means of the reliable memorizers on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet hints at this at following the narrations, as this narration of the hadith from Imam Ahmed, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned, who is the best of humanity? And he had answered, أَنَا وَالَّذِينَ مَعِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ عَلَى الْأَثَرِ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ عَلَى الْأَثَرِ. He said that I am the best of humanity, and those that are with me, and then those that follow their narrations, and then those that follow their narrations. And here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing that the best of humanity are those three generations that are following the narrations of the people that came before them, of course, on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And then we have many statements, and I'll bring a few of the ulama of Islam, from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the Tabi'at Tabi'een and those who came after them, stating the importance of following the narrations of the reliable memorizers back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and showing us that this is our deen. As Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah, he said, al-isnadu min ad-din wa lawla al-isnad laqala man sha'a ma sha'a, that the chain of authorities, of authority, the isnad, is from this deen, and if it wasn't for that chain of narrators, then anyone would be able to say anything. And here Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah, he's establishing for us that the only way we could follow that which has come on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is by means of this chain of reliable memorizers. Because if it wasn't for that, then anyone could say, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said we should do this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said we should do that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said we should do that. If you ask him what's his proof, he said, am I a liar?
then that would mean we would have to accept the statement of anyone and everyone who said the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do this. And you see, and I mentioned many examples before, that the deviant Muslims, they invent hadith on the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam without having a chain whatsoever, so that they can convince the innocent people to follow them. As I mentioned, the example of one of the books that I read from the deviant Muslims there in Senegal, by means of one of my shuyukh from Senegal, Muhammad Lo Hafabahullah, that there was a Sufi sheikh in Senegal who made up a hadith that said that the Prophet ﷺ said, and he had quoted the hadith in Arabic, they invented it, but the English meaning was, there will come in the city of Tuba, 1400 years after me, a man who will lead you to paradise. His name is so and so. Tuba is a city in Senegal. 1400 years later is right now. And the man's name, who's the leader of the Sufi tariqah there, will lead you to paradise. They invent this hadith so that the people will follow him. And if it wasn't for the chain of narrators, then anyone would be able to invent anything on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So this, for this reason, the Shaykh is clarifying that we don't just believe in that which has come from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we believe in that which has come from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by means of the reliable memorizers. And that if someone had brought us something on the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam by other than means of the reliable memorizers, then we wouldn't accept that from them. That we only accept that which has been related to us by chain or by means of the reliable memorizers on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. As it was questioned to Ibn Abbas by Uthman ibn Muhadir, give me some advice. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, عَلَيْكَ بِالْإِسْتِقَامَةِ وَاتِّبَاعِ الْأَثَرِ وَإِيَّاكَ وَالتَّبَدُّعِ. And this is collected in a book written by Ibn Battah called Al-Ibana, and he died 387. And I took most of the, or some of the narrations from this book, where Abdullah ibn Abbas, when he was questioned, advised me, he said, I command you to be upright and to take the means that would make you among the upright and follow the narrations and be aware of every newly invented matter or every bid'ah. So here Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, turjaman al-Qur'an, he is advising those who came after them to follow the narrations of the people who came before them, of course, from the reliable memorizers back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Also Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, لَن تَضِلَّ مَا أَخَذْتَ بِالْأَثَرِ, that you would never go astray so long as you held fast to the narrations. You will never go astray so long as you held fast to the narrations. And Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah, from among the tabi'een, he said, الرجل ما كان مع الأثر فهو على الطريق, that a man, so long as he is holding fast to the narrations, then he is on the straight path. That so long as a man is holding fast to the narrations, then he is on the straight path, or holding on to the athar. And this athar and narrations, it means the chains, or the chains of the reliable memorizers back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when I use the word narration, I'm meaning narrations of the reliable memorizers back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. And this is what the ulama are meaning when they say to follow the athar, or to follow the narrations of the reliable memorizers back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we'll see the explanation of Imam Muslim to show that this is what is meant by following the narrations. Ibn Aun rahimahullah, he said, رحم الله رجلا لزم هذا الأثر ورضي به وإن استثقله واستبطأه. And these, all of these previous narrations are collected by Ibn Battah in his book Al-Ibana. And here Ibn Aun, rahimahullah, he said, may the mercy of Allah be on a man who holds fast to the narrations, to the athar, and is pleased with them, even if he finds it a little difficult to handle or to practice or to believe in those narrations, or he finds that it slows him up in achieving or doing whatever he wants to do in his life, or what is ever meant by the statement wastabata'ahu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But here we see that Ibn Aun rahimahullah, he's advising that which the other ulama from among the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the tabi'een, that they're advising us to hold fast to the athar. And Ibn Aun, he also said rahimahullah, thalathun ardahu li nafsi wa li ikhwani أن ينظر هذا الرجل المسلم القرآن فيتعلمه ويقرأه وتدبره وينظر فيه. جزاك الله خير. Number two, أن ينظر ذاك الأثر والسنة فيسأل عنه ويتبعه جهده. أن يدع هؤلاء الناس إلا من خير. And this is in the book called As-Sunnah by Imam Al-Marwazi rahimahullah. Where Ibn Aun rahimahullah, he said, there are three things that I am very pleased with for myself and for my brothers. They are, number one, for a person to a Muslim man to take a look at the Quran, meaning to learn it, to read it, to contemplate on it, and to reflect on what is in it. Number two, to take a look at the narrations and the sunnah, and to ask about it and to follow it as much as he has the ability to do so. And number three, to leave alone those people except those who are good. To leave alone the people except the good people among them. So here Ibn Aun rahimahullah, he's mentioning among the three things that he's pleased with for himself and for his brothers. And inshallah ta'ala, we're among his brothers as he's a Muslim rahimahullah, and from the scholars among the Muslims, that we take a look into the narrations of the sunnah, and that we ask about them, ask about their meanings in order to get an understanding of them, and then to follow them as much as we're able to. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he also advises, as he says, عَلَيْكَ بِالْأَثْرِ وَطَرِيقَةَ السَّلَفِ وَإِيَّاكَ وَكُلَّ مُحْدَثَ فَإِنَّهَا بِدْعَةٌ. And this is in a book called As-Sunan wal-Mubtadi'at al-Shuqiri, where Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he said, I command you to hold fast to the narrations and follow it. I command you to hold fast to the narrations and the path of the Salaf, and beware of every innovation, every muhdatha, because every innovation is a bid'ah. So here Imam Abu Hanifa is saying that which those people had came before him is saying, to hold fast to the narrations. And maybe this is an extra point, that Imam Abu Hanifa, he has a book of hadith, and it's not commonly mentioned about him rahimahullah, that he has a book, and I think it's called either the Musnad of Abi Hanifa or something like that. It's a very small book. It's been published, alhamdulillah, where he has his narrations back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullah, and Ibn Abi Hatim maybe is known to some of us now, alhamdulillah, as we had explained some of his aqidah in one of our series of classes on the aqidah, as we took the aqidah of his father Abu Hatim and his partner Abu Zur'a. Ibn Abi Hatim, he said, alamatu ahl al-bid'i al-waqi'atu fi ahl al-athar. And this is from the book Sharh Usul al-i'tiqali ahl al-sunnah wal-jama'ah, where Ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullah, he said, the sign of the deviant people, the sign of the people of bid'ah, is that they talk bad about ahl al-athar, that they talk bad about the people of narrations. And here Ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullah, he's showing us that which many of the ulama, they show us the signs of the deviant people so we can know how to stay away from them. And you can know a deviant person by the speech that comes off of his tongue, as here he's giving a sign of them, that they talk bad about the people of Athar. You see those brothers over there, all they talk about is hadith, following the Salaf, following that which came to them from the people before them. They try to follow everything to the T. Is it possible for anyone to follow everything to the T? You see what they're doing? They're overdoing it. This is the, then if you hear somebody speaking like this, then you know he's from among the people of Bid'ah, because he's talking bad about the people of Athar, the people who follow narrations. How can you talk bad about someone who's following the narrations of the reliable memorizers back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except that you're an innovator, and that the people should be aware of you, and that this is a sign. And when we hear it, there's no need to even talk to the brother. Case closed. Akhi, those people following all of that hadith, all of those narrations and stuff like that, you don't have to do all of that. Salamu alaikum, akhi. Case closed. There's no need to argue, to debate, to try to solve, because he's from among the people of from the people of Bid'ah. And this is what they say. And you know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taught us that the tawbah, or the repentance of the people of Bid'ah, would not be accepted, because the people of Bid'ah, something is about them that you can't convince them, and that is that they are already convinced that what they are on is the best way to get to Allah, so you can't even convince them. Could a kafir convince you to be a kafir after the guidance of Allah with this Islam? And this is how the people of Bid'ah mostly are, that there's almost no coming back to the truth except for the people who Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala have saved, like the author of this Aqidah, Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, who was among the people of Bid'ah, but at, later on in his life he came back to the truth. Wa rahimahullah, and may Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala accept his tawbah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, inna naqtadi wa la nabtadi ونتبع ولا نبتدع ولن نضل ما تمسكنا بالأثر. عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said, indeed we follow, or we imitate, and we don't set our own trends. We follow and we don't invent bid'ahs, and we will never go astray so long as we hold on to the narrations. This is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, as we had began with the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas, that there are two companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhuma. They're telling the people after them to hold fast to the narrations, meaning you're the tabi'i, we're the sahaba, and who is before us is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow what we bring you, narrating on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam getting it from his Lord, tabaraka wa ta'ala, our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here are the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right from the very beginning, advising the people to hold fast to the narrations, and the narration at that time was just, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say. We saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do. This was done in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he didn't say anything against it. So this following the narrations was from the time of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. The fifth rightly guided Khalifa, as Imam al-Shafi'i calls him, Abd Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, who died 101 Hijra, and he was considered the fifth rightly guided Khalifa because the Muslim world was straight during his leadership. Rahimahullah. He made a statement, Sanna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa walatul amri min ba'dihi sunanan al-akhthu biha تصديق لكتاب الله واستكمال لطاعة الله وقوة على دين الله من اهتدى بها مهتدي ومن استنصر بها منصور ومن خالفها اتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين وولاه الله ما تولى وأصلاه جهنم وساءت مصيرا. And these past narrations are in the book شرح أصول الاعتقال أهل السنة by Imam al-Lalakai, where Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the leaders of the Muslims after him, they had established for the believers the different sunnahs. Holding fast to them is a confirmation of the Book of Allah and completion of obedience to Allah, and power for the deen of Allah, Whoever is guided by this sunnah, by these sunnahs that were established, then he is guided. And whoever tries to be victorious by using and establishing these sunnahs, then he is victorious. And whoever opposes them, then he has followed other than the path of the believers, and Allah would turn him to that which he has turned himself to, and enter him into the hellfire or what an evil abode. So here we see Omar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, he's stating for the believers that the sunnahs had been established, but he also had mentioned that it was established by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the leaders of the Muslims, as the leaders of the Muslims are the ones who establish for the believers the sunnahs that were established by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whoever holds fast to them is on the correct path. Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani rahimahullah, he has his statement as he says, إِذَا حَدَّثْتَ الرَّجُلَ بِسُنَّةِ فَقَالَ دَعْنَا مِنْ هَذَا وَأَنْبِئْنَا عَنِ الْقُرْآنِ فَعَلَمْ أَنَّهُ ضَالٌّ قَالَ الْأَوْزَاعِ وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ السُنَّةَ جَاءَتْ قَاضِيَةٌ عَلَى الْكِتَابِ وَلَمْ يَجِيَ الْكِتَابُ قَاضِيَةً عَلَى السُنَّةِ. Here Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani rahimahullah, he makes a statement, if you narrate to a person something from the sunnah and he says, leave me alone with that stuff, just narrate to me the Quran, know for a certainty that that person is astray. And then Al-Awza'i, he added on, that is because the sunnah is the sunnah is the judge over the Quran, and that the Quran didn't come as a judge over the sunnah. And Imam Ahmed, and we're going to explain, Imam Ahmed, he came after this and he said, مَا أَجْسَرُ عَلَى هَذَا أَنْ أَقُولَهُ وَلَكِنَّ السُنَّةُ تُفَسِّرُ الْكِتَابُ وَتُعَرِّفُ الْكِتَابُ وَتُبَيِّنَهُ. Imam Ahmed, he came behind that statement of Al-Awza'i, and he said that I don't have the courage to say that, but what I would say is that the sunnah explains the Quran, and that it shows the details of that which is made general in the Quran, and it clarifies anything that's not clear in the Quran. Here Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani rahimahullah, he's establishing for us that whoever does not want to hear the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is astray, and that this is a sign of the people who are astray, is their statement when you say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, "Akhi, I just want to learn about some Quran. That's all I want to know. Don't come with all of this sunnah stuff. You don't even know the Quran. Just bring the Quran to me." Whoever makes statements like this, then you know straight up he's astray. Stay away from him, because some of that deviance and that astrayness might enter into your heart if you continue to listen to him. Imam Al-Awza'i rahimahullah, he went to add to this statement of Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani that the sunnah is the judge over the Quran, and that the Quran is not the judge over the sunnah. And Imam Ahmed said that I didn't have the courage to say that. This statement of Al-Awza'i is correct when he says that the Quran, that the sunnah is the judge over the Quran, and the Quran is not the judge over the sunnah. It's a correct statement, but Imam Ahmed here is saying, and we're going to show a point here, that he doesn't have the courage to say that, but he's going to say that the sunnah explains the Quran, that the sunnah shows the details from the Quran, from that which is made general, and that the sunnah clarifies anything that would be a little unclear in the Quran. This is the statement of Imam Ahmed, because the statement of Al-Awza'i could be understood by some people as they understood it. Are you saying that the sunnah is better than the Quran? Are you saying that the Prophet ﷺ is better than Allah? And that this might be understood from this statement, and this is why Imam Ahmed said, I don't have the courage to say that. Here we're learning a point, and that is, when you want to clarify something to the people, you should be careful at what language you use, even if what you say is correct, because the people may misunderstand you. And for that, you chase them away, or you have them deny something they should believe in. As Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he tells us in the narration on him from the Sahih al-Bukhari, حَدِّثُ النَّاسَ بِمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَتُحِبُّونَ أَن يُكَذَّبَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And in the other narration it is added, وَدَعُوا مَا يُنْكِرُونَ. As Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, speak to the people in the language or in a manner that they would understand you. And in another narration he added, and leave alone that which they don't understand. Do you want the people to disbelieve in Allah and His Messenger? And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he added also, making the same statement almost, مَا أَنْتَ مُحَدِّثًا قَوْمًا حَدِيثًا لَا تَبْلُغُهُ عُقُولَهُمْ إِلَّا كَانَ لِبَعْضِهِمْ فِتْنَةً. That you would not narrate to the people a hadith that they don't understand, except that it would be a fitna for some of them. Here we see that Ali ibn Abi Talib and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they're establishing for us the fact that we should use a language that the people understand, and that we should only speak to the people in a manner that they would understand, and that we don't have to go too far to try to make the people understand a point that may be, because of the level where they're at now, that they may not understand it now, that there's no rush to push the people into understanding everything at one point, but you should bring the people along gradually so that they could understand this deen and that they wouldn't disbelieve in it. So this statement that we were starting off from Ayyub is that As-Sakhtiyani rahimahullah, is that whoever denies the sunnah, then you know that he's astray. Because the sunnah explains the Quran. The sunnah clarifies and brings out the details of what's in the Quran. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nahl, and we have revealed to you Muhammad, the dhikr or the revelation, so that you could explain to humanity what was revealed to them, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala commands us, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and to establish the salat. How do we know it's compulsory on the Muslim men who are of age to make the compulsory salat in the masjid, and to make fajr 2 rak'ahs, and dhuhr 4 rak'ahs, and asr 4 rak'ahs, and maghrib 3 rak'ahs, and that the sunnah after maghrib is 2 rak'ahs, and the sunnah before dhuhr is 2 rak'ahs, and that witr could be anywhere from 1 rak'ah to 11 rak'ahs? How do we know the details of establish the salat, except that we know it from the clarification and the explanation of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam? And this is what Al-Awza'i was saying with the statement that wouldn't be so good to say that the sunnah is the judge over the Quran. What he means is that the sunnah is that which explains the Quran, and that the Quran isn't that which explains the sunnah. That Allah tabarak wa ta'ala Al-Hakim, who chose to reveal his speech to his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to choose his messenger as the one to explain it to humanity, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose, as opposed to choosing to have the Quran to explain the statements of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah chose the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to explain the statements of his Lord Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the Quran. So here to sum it up, we're just showing the importance of following the sunnah as it explains the Quran, and that the importance of keeping the sunnah with the Quran is so important that there's no way you could separate the two except that you go astray. Ayyub rahimahullah, he also said, قَالَ رَجُلٌ عِنْدَ مُطَرِّفِ ابْنِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ لَا تُحَدِّثُونَ إِلَّا بِمَا فِي الْقُرْآنِ فَقَالُ مُطَرِّفِ إِنَّا وَاللَّهِ مَا نُرِيدُ بِالْقُرْآنِ بَدَلًا وَلَكِنَّا نُرِيدُ مَنْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْقُرْآنِ مِنَّا. And here's also a statement of someone who is very wise, rahimahullah, Mutarrif ibn Abdullah, and we see how he's speaking to the masses of the people in a language that they would understand, in order to bring the people to the guidance and not to chase the people away. as unfortunately it's become common for deviant and people who have a little knowledge of this deen to lean to the Quran to the degree that they overlook the Sunnah, and that showing the people the importance of the Sunnah, we have to use a language that would make the people accept it, because there's no way they're going to worship their Lord without the Sunnah. But sometimes people fall into this, and you have to use a manner to bring them out of it, because after they have said Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and they said that they believe in the Quran and that they want to follow the Quran, of course they want to follow the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But because of their lack of comprehension of the Quran and the deen of Islam, that they shied away from the Sunnah, thus they deviated. And the only way that we're going to bring them back is with good exhortation and words that won't chase them away, but words that they would understand, that would bring them closer. As Mutarraf brings, when someone said to him, listen, don't narrate anything to me except that which is in the Quran. So Mutarraf said, indeed, I swear by Allah, we don't want to replace that Quran with anything. All we want is the one who knows the Quran better than we do. And he's the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we were mentioning the verse, and we have revealed to you the dhikr, the revelation, the Quran, so that you could explain to humanity what was revealed to them. When we call the people to practice the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're not trying to replace the Quran. We're not trying to tell the people, leave the speech of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala alone and come to the sunnah, because all you need is the sunnah to be guided. No. What we're saying is, follow that Quran, but how are you going to follow that Quran except with the one who have more knowledge of that Quran than any of us, and he's the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahibi wa sallam. And we see that here he made a good statement, that we're not trying to replace anything, we just want the one who knows the Quran better than us. We want to follow the Quran just like you, and we want to give the importance to the Quran just like you, but we want to follow it and understand it the way that the person understood it who was more knowledgeable than all of us, and he's Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Qatada rahimahullah from among the tabi'een, he said, anna insanan haddatha bi hadithin faqala lahu rajulun asami'ta hadha min rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala na'am. أو حدثني من لم يكذب والله ما كنا نكذب ولا كنا ندري ما الكذب. And this is collected by Imam al-Hakim in his Mustadrak, where Qatada said, indeed, a person had narrated a hadith, and someone said to him, did you hear that from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, yes. Or I reported it on the authority of someone who doesn't lie, and I swear by Allah, we didn't lie, nor did we know what lying on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. So here Qatada rahimahullah, he's showing that if you narrate a hadith on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, either you're going to say, I heard it from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, arises on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those people who had the memory and didn't lie on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are the people that we get the hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from. From these people and not from any other people. And this is the question, as he's showing in this example, that when someone comes to us with a hadith, that we want to know, where'd you get that hadith from? Did you hear the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And if we would make that statement, that we would only be making it rhetorically, that we're only making it that way, and that we're not trying to say as if you didn't hear it from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so shut up and don't bring me that hadith. But what we're trying to say to him is, show me that you got that hadith from the reliable memorizers who got it from the reliable memorizers who got it from the reliable memorizers who got it from the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. So none of us should be offended. Where's your proof? Where'd you get that hadith from?
even though the people should use a better manner than just that. But if it was said to us, where you get that hadith from? Did you hear it from the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Then we should tell them, we heard it from those who did not lie on the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Or we read it from the one who didn't lie on the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Imam al-Bukhari, who said that he heard it from his sheikh, who heard it from back to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Shaykh Hafizullah is establishing for us that we believe and we acknowledge our belief and accepting that which has come to us from the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by means of the reliable memorizers, that we only accept authentic hadith and that we don't accept the daif hadith. And this is what Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah is saying when he says, and I'm just bringing the translation, and this is from his book, the that Ibn Sirin, Muhammad ibn Sirin, and Ibrahim al-Nakhai, and other than them from among the tabi'een, they all used to have the position that we do not accept any hadith except from the people who are reliable and memorizers. And this is exactly what the Shaykh is saying, the reliable memorizers, that the tabi'een, their position, the companions of the companions of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that their position is we don't accept any hadith until it comes from those people who are reliable and those people who are the memorizers. And we didn't see anyone else from among the people of knowledge of hadith that they oppose this madhab, or this position of only accepting that which has come to us by means of the reliable memorizers on the authority of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Tawus, also among the tabi'een, he used to say, if a person narrated to you a hadith, if he narrated to you from the reliable memorizers, then accept it, otherwise do not narrate that hadith after him. And here Tawus is adding that either someone brings you the hadith by means of the reliable memorizers back to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or he brings you something that is going to stop right there. And this is from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also. The statement of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from Ibn Majah, من حدث بحديث وهو يرى أنه كذب فهو أحد الكاذبين, أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, that whoever narrates a hadith and he thinks that it's a lie, then he's one of the two liars. Meaning, if you narrate a hadith on the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and you don't know that it's by means of the reliable memorizers, on the authority of the reliable memorizers back to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you narrate that, then you become one of the two liars on the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the one who invented that lie, and then you next. So this statement of Tawus, either the people will report to you that which has been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from the reliable memorizers, or you're not going to report that hadith. We would tell the people of the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, and we would tell the people of the hadith of Imam Muslim. If we told the people of the hadith of Abu Dawood, the hadith of Imam al-Tirmidhi, the hadith of Ibn Majah, the hadith of An-Nasa'i, the hadith of Ibn Hibban, the hadith of Ibn Khuzaymah, the hadith of Imam al-Bayhaqi, the hadith of Ad-Daruqutni, the hadith of Ad-Darimi, the hadith of Sa'id ibn Mansur, the hadith of Ibn Abi Shayba, the hadith of Abdul Razak ibn Hammam, or the other collectors of hadith, the hadith of Al-Humaydi, of Abd ibn Humayd, and the other collectors of hadith, if we heard these other names, other than Al-Bukhari and Muslim, Al-Tabarani, if we hear these names, then we want to know, on top of it being collected by Abu Dawood and these other books, that we want to know collected by Abu Dawood and it is authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, meaning that it had a chain of reliable memorizers on the authority of reliable memorizers back to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is a point, and I had explained it in the talk, lying on the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But to be brief here, that when we hear a hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, case closed. Authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inshaAllah ta'ala, and perfection is only for Allah. If it's from other than Al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, the first question is it authentic? Meaning, has it been reported on the reliable memorizers, on the authority of reliable memorizers, back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam? This is for us when we listen to the lectures or when we read books. If that hadith doesn't say Al-Bukhari or Muslim, then we want the steel authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or we're going to drop that hadith until we know that it has been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We'll end with the statement of Imam Muslim, inshaAllah ta'ala, as Imam Muslim in his Sahih, and this part was not translated into English. Imam Muslim, in the beginning, he makes it known that a group of people came to him and they said, "We want you to teach us the deen. There's a lot about Islam. We want to know the fiqh issues. We want to know the dhikr and the dua. We want to know that which will soften our heart, that which will show us how to get to Jannah, to stay away from the hellfire, that which would encourage us to love Islam, not to hate Islam." And onward, and the Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, he answered those brothers' questions with what we call today Sahih Muslim. When they said, "Could you write us a little something to teach us Islam?" he wrote for them Sahih Muslim. And in the beginning of that, he wrote to them that which I'm only going to phrase some of it, as it's a long introduction. And some people told me that it was translated into English in parts in the Al-Hijra magazine. I haven't seen it, but if someone knows or has copies, they should try to make that available to the people, where Imam Muslim says, "I want you to know, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you successful, that what is compulsory on everyone is to know the difference between the authentic narrations and the narrations that are not authentic. To know the reliable memorizers and what they have reported on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the other unreliable people who have not memorized accurately that which has been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that you only narrate, or meaning that you only teach or spread to the masses of the people, that which you know to be authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the reliable memorizers. And that you be aware and you stay away from those narrations from the people who are questionable, the liars, the people with bad memories and characters who aren't good, the people who are stubborn from the people of bid'ah." And here Imam Muslim is making a nice point that we don't take the narrations of the people of bid'ah, and don't try to convince us that so and so from among the people of bid'ah who is deviant said some truth, because we're not going to listen to him because he's not reliable and we're not going to accept him. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, he has chosen reliable memorizers, generation after generation, up to our generation, and inshallah to yawmul qiyamah, to preserve and to guard this deen, so that we can learn this deen and that we don't have to turn to the people from bid'ah or the people who are unreliable and have bad characters, as we don't have to learn our deen from them. As some of the ulama used to say, that this issue of knowledge is your deen. So look at who you get your deen from. And that they used to teach us that we look at who we get our deen from, and that you don't take this deen from any and everybody just because he's out there trying to teach the deen, but you have to look at who you get your deen so that you can make sure you get it from the reliable memorizers on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Imam Muslim said, "And the proof or the dalil for that which I just said, and that it is compulsory and binding on you to follow the path that I just mentioned of only accepting that which has been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and leaving alone everything other than that, and that it's not permissible for anyone to oppose that statement is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَنْ تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. That all you who believe, if a fasiq, if a bad, corrupt person comes to you with some news, then verify it or check it out so that you don't become regretful after taking that news, or so that you don't spread that ignorance, so you don't spread that false information out of ignorance to the people and then be regretful for what you did. And this ayat has been explained, alhamdulillah, by Bilal Phillips in his book Tafsir Surah Al-Hujurat. And the people should go back to see the importance of this ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is establishing for us that we, if someone isn't correct and he brings us something, we verify it. How do you verify it? You go to the reliable memorizers. If a corrupt person, a liar, someone who's not from among the people of knowledge, if he says something, how can we verify it except going to the reliable memorizers with their narrations back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he also says that Allah jalla thana'uhu, he says mimma tardawna min ash-shuhada, and this is in ayah 282 from Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah is showing, and this is the longest ayah in the Quran, from those people who you are pleased with to be witnesses. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that some people we're pleased with to be witnesses, meaning that we're going to take that which they brought to us as opposed to other people. And then he says, وَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَأَشْهِدُوا ذَوَيْ عَدْلٍ مِّنْكُمْ. And this is verse number 2 from Surah Al-Talaq, where Allah says, and to make the righteous from among you the witnesses. And this is in the issue of divorce. And Imam Muslim says that these verses are proof that the person who is unreliable, and unreliable means his character and his deen is a little on the shaky side, you know, he's lacking in his obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala openly, that if this person comes to you with news, then his news is no good, null and void, until we can check it, meaning go to those people who are reliable memorizers, so that we can take their witness and not anyone else's. And then he uses the other verse to show that Allah tells us to take the reliable as those who bear witness for us. That these verses show that the only narrations that we're going to be pleased with for our deen are the narrations of the reliable memorizers on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And then the shaykh goes on to say, and we do not deny any of that. And we do not deny any of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in many verses in His Quran, He commands us to say that we believe in what is in the Quran, that we acknowledge what is Quran, that what is in the Quran, that we're standing firmly on that which is in the Quran. In many verses, as we can see from this example, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. From Surah Yusuf, verse number 107, or around 107, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, I command you to say, this is my path, the path of acknowledging belief in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, that which has come to us from Allah, that which has come to us by means or by way of the reliable memorizers on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is our way. And we're calling to Allah on clear knowledge and evidence, me and those who are with me, and subhanallah, I am not among the disbelievers. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to state to the people, this is our path. This is the path of the truth that we're on. We don't deny any of it, and we're calling to it, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also makes the statement in Surah Al-Ali Imran, verse number 7, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. Those people who are well grounded in knowledge, they say, we believe in it, all of it is from our Lord. We believe in it, and all of it is from our Lord. As we had established from this paragraph and the explanation of this paragraph by the Sheikh Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari rahimahullah, that these things that we are acknowledging our belief in is from the book of Allah, and therefore from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from the people who the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed it on to his companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and then the people who came after them, that all of this is from our Lord, and that we do not deny any of it, that we believe in all of it walhamdulillah, and we do not deny any of it. And then the Shaykh after that he goes on to the next point, and Allah Azza wa Jal is one deity. There is no deity to be worshipped in truth except Him. He is Fard Samad. He has not taken a marriage partner or a son. Allah subhanahu the Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari rahimahullah, and this in this paragraph here, he's stating the statement of La ilaha illallah, that we believe that there's only one deity, one God. No one has the right to be worshipped. No God, no deity is worthy of worship other than Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from our statement, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and that we said that the Shaykh here in this thesis, that he's mentioning points that are important for all of the Muslims to believe and to live their lives in accordance to, and to call the rest of humanity to. And there's no statement in our belief too small to remind ourselves of, so that we can act in accordance to it, and that we can call the people to it. And this is our statement, La ilaha illallah. And we know the many hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching us to call to La ilaha illallah. But we'll start off with the ayat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala on this statement, that there is one deity, that there is one God, that there is one object of worship, and that no one has the right to be worshipped other than Him, and He is our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He establishes for us in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 163, وَإِلَاهُكُمْ إِلَاهُ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَاهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this verse, and your deity is one deity. No deity has the right to be worshipped except Him. He is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. So here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is saying the exact same statement of the Shaykh, basically from his statement, and Allah Azza wa Jal is one deity. No deity has the right to be worshipped in truth except Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes this verse in many verses in the Quran. And I'm going to quote some of them, and I wish I had the time to quote more of them, as this is very important, as we can see all throughout the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly establishing for us the statement La ilaha illahu, or that no God has the right to be worshipped except Him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verses 73 and 74, لَقَدَ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ وَمَا مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِلَّا إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَنْتَهُوا عَمَّا يَقُولُونَ لَيَمَسَّنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَهُ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in these verses, indeed they have disbelieved, indeed they are kafirs, those who say, indeed Allah is the third of three. There is no deity except one deity. There is no God except one God. And if you don't stop from what you're saying, then those who have disbelieved from among them will receive a painful chastisement. And what is wrong with you that you don't repent to Allah and seek His forgiveness? And Allah is Ghafur Rahim, the acceptor of forgiveness, and the Rahim, or the merciful. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that we shouldn't say that Allah is the third of the three, or that He's a part of this Trinity. We should desist from that, from saying that, and we should say that there's only one deity, and no one has the right to be worshipped other than Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should call the people who say that He is the third of the three, the third of the third of three. We should tell them, what's wrong with you that you don't repent to Allah and seek His forgiveness? And Allah is Ghafur Rahim. You're making a statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have, or the heavens and earth would like to split asunder for the statements that you're making. Why don't you just repent to Allah and say, La ilaha illallah? Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 19, قُلْ أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَكْبَرُ شَهَادًا قُلِ اللَّهِ شَهِيدٌ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَأُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَنْ بَلَغَ أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَشْهَدُونَ أَنَّ مَعَ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً أُخْرَى قُلْ لَا أَشْهَدْ قُلْ إِنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَإِنَّنِي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, I command you to say, what has the biggest testimony? What has the biggest shahada? Say, Allah, He is the shaheed, or the witness between me and you. And it has been revealed to me this Quran, so that I can warn you by this Quran, whoever it reaches. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is establishing for us that this Quran was revealed to us so that we can warn the people, and whoever the Quran reaches, that we can warn them of that which is in the Quran, of La ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala goes on to say, are you going to bear witness that there are other deities or other gods along with Allah? I command you to say, I don't bear witness to that. And I command you to say, indeed, He is only one deity, and I am free from that which you ascribe partners to. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is also establishing for us that He's one deity, and that we're free from everyone who associates partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not establishing the tawheed that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is only one, like the people of this verse in Surah An-Nahl, verse number 22, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إلهكم إله واحد فالذين لا يؤمنون فالذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة قلوبهم منكرة وهم مستكبرون. Your deity, your God is one deity. As for those who do not believe in the hereafter, their hearts are opposed to it, to the statement La ilaha illallah, and they are arrogant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes in this verse that our deity, our God, is one God subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He does in Surah Ibrahim, verse number 52, هَذَا بَلَاغٌ لِلنَّاسِ وَلِيُنذَرُوا بِهِ وَلِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَلِيَذَّكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this Quran, it is a proclamation for humanity, and that you warn the people by this Quran, and that they may know that there is only one deity, and that the people who have since would be reminded or would remember this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands His messenger in Surah Al-Kahf at the end, the last verse in Surah Al-Kahf, to make this statement to the people, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشْرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands His messenger to say, I am only a human being like yourselves. It has been revealed to me that your deity is only one deity. So whoever desires to meet his Lord, then let him work righteous deeds and not ascribe anyone in worship, or anyone as a partner in worship with his Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Ankabut, verse number 46, قُلْ إِنَّمَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Excuse me, that's Surah Al-Anbiya, verse number 108. Allah says, I command you to say, it has only been revealed to me that your deity, your God, is only one God, and are you Muslim? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is establishing us a statement of da'wah to the people who have not believed in La ilaha illallah, or that there is only one God that has the right to be worshipped but Him, that we tell those people that it has been revealed to us that their deity, that their God is only one God, and that are you going to be a Muslim? Are you going to take the shahada to ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah? And that from this statement we should see that it should always be a part of our da'wah to the disbelievers to ask them to take the shahada. That no one has called anyone to Islam if he didn't say, repeat after me, ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. If you didn't tell him to take the shahada, you didn't tell him to repeat after you, you didn't call him to Islam, you're just talking. And a lot of people are talking until they call him to Islam. Oh, I was letting my character give him the da'wah. Oh, I was telling him a little bit about Islam. Yeah, you're doing all that and all that's good. But you have to tell him, are you going to be a Muslim? Are you going to take your shahada? And we have to know whether we have 1 minute, 2 minutes, an hour, or 5 days to call someone to Islam, that a part of calling them to this deen is asking them to take the shahada. If you meet somebody in the store, you know you don't have time to talk to them, get right to the point. Akhi, listen. Allah gave you life. He gave you a purpose to worship Him and Him alone. Because when you die, you're going to be raised back to life. You're going to be held accountable for what you did. Either you embraced Islam or you didn't embrace Islam. If you did, you'll enter in paradise. And if you didn't, you're going to go to the hellfire. So repeat after me, ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. So you can enter into Islam and save yourself from the hellfire. This is a quick little da'wah because we don't have any time to give him all of the details and the explanations. Give him enough to save him from the hellfire, and then give him your phone number or whatever. Tell the brothers, there's a brother who accepted Islam in such and such a place. Go teach him his deen. But Allah tabarak wa ta'ala here is establishing for us in this ayah that everyone should know that their deity, their God, their object of worship is only one, and no one has the right to be worshipped but Him. This is what we have time to explain as the explanation of the statement of the Shaykh Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari rahimahullah. In brief, our position is we acknowledge belief in Allah, in His angels, His books, His messengers, what has come from Allah, and what has been related by the reliable memorizers on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do not deny any of that, and Allah Azza wa Jal is one deity. There is no deity to be worshipped in truth except Him. If there was any good, then it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our success is only by Allah. And if there was anything wrong or incomplete, then it's from me, and I don't free myself from the blame, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa subhanahu اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والحمد لله.